David Reske, CEO of Now Speed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Annie Scranton. Annie is founder and president of Pace Public Relations, a firm in New York City with 20 people on staff. It's very impressive, Annie, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I understand you started the firm 13 years ago. That's a long time. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And you, but before that, you spent 10 years as a print journalist. And so maybe just to get started, I'm just going to ask you, what did you like about being a print journalist? And how did you make that transition from journalist to PR?
Yeah, so I was a print journalist, but I was also mostly a national TV news producer. And I worked at Good Morning America and the Today Show and CNBC and Fox and MSNBC. I worked at a lot of different networks. And my favorite part was the people I would talk to every day. I was a booker, so I would book I would book guests to come on the show and to do interviews with my anchor. And I just got to meet a lot of people and hear a lot of interesting stuff. And, you know, this was way before COVID. And so I would meet people in the green room and make connections. And it was just very social, you know, and it was fun. I had fun with it. So I would say just the amount of people I would interact with on a daily basis was really cool.
That's awesome. So by the way, that sounds really glamorous to us to the TV industry. Was it as fun as it sounds meeting those people, or did it get down to like, it's a job, I got to do it, I got to book people, you know?
I mean, it's always a job, right? But it was fun. I mean, it wasn't that glamorous. Like working in TV news, you don't get paid a lot of money. You work crazy, not great hours. You know, in more recent years, they've updated like the newsrooms and everything. But back then, they were not always so nice where we would work. And so glamorous, no, but you know, I got to book and meet Goldie Hawn, you know, all different sorts of celebrities and people over the years. And that was cool, you know, because most of you don't get those opportunities, you know, in a lot of other professions.
Fun. And now you're in PR and built a very successful firm. And you've written a book, I understand. Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, sure. So it's called The Guide to Earned Media, and how to use PR strategies to enhance your brand. And I focus at Pace Public Relations on earned media relations. So getting our clients featured in cable news, in national morning shows, local news, digital and print websites and newspapers. And it really is just what it says, a guide for working professionals who maybe are looking to elevate their own skill set, you know, or to enhance what they're doing. Maybe you work in marketing and you want to sort of also implement some PR strategies. The book is really meant for working professionals to use this book as a manual for how to do PR. So I really take the reader step by step on everything that needs to happen when you're trying to get those press placements for your client.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. And clearly you're an expert in doing that. One more question before we get into the meat of what I want to talk about today, but how long did it take you to write this? Was this a labor of love? Is it something you've thought about for a long time? Lots of people think about writing a book. Not everybody does it, but you did it. Congrats.
Thank you. I will take that congrats because writing a book is not easy at all, especially when you have a full-time job and a family and everything else kind of going on. So it took me, I want to say like over a year to write it. I mean, it was not something that I didn't time manage the way that I would suggest to others if you're going about trying to write a book. But I got it done. And, you know, but it was a labor of love, because when you have a full schedule already, it can be hard to find the time to write the book.
I can totally relate. It took me 5 years to write my book. So it's hard. That's impressive. Nice job. I want to get into you. You clearly are an expert in this area. I want to talk about PR and the way that the industry works today and in some of your experience in this area. And the Mythbuster question we talked about is, to get quality PR interviews today, you need to pay. Is that true or not true?
Not true. Not at all. If you work at a company that manufactures a product and you're looking for product PR, you have to implement, in addition to your earned media pitching strategies, affiliate marketing, which is something that every single lifestyle publisher does now. And it's sort of standard course of operations. And what that means is when you're pitching a product, okay, I have this new fitness product. Well, great. Okay. The editors check it out. They vet it. They say, okay, we think our reader would like that. Now go talk to our commerce editor. Go talk to our affiliate team. And what happens is when they write the article about the product and they hyperlink back to the product, it's actually a mechanism by which the publisher, meaning the magazine or the website, will get a cut of the revenue made from every person that clicks that link and then purchases the product. So it was really born out of necessity for publishers, magazines, and even digital news sites, because the media landscape is changing so much and traditional advertising just was not paying the bills anymore. So in that instance, you're not paying for it directly, but you are bringing in the media partner into a rev share of the product sold via their platform. But at Pace PR, we also represent a lot of thought leaders and CEOs and subject matter experts who want to go on TV or give a quote to a newspaper about a trending news story. And in those instances, you do not pay for those interviews. You have to pay me to get you on TV, or to get you the opportunity to be interviewed. But when it comes to a news site, generally speaking, they don't accept payment because it would kind of go against like their ethical standards.
Right. So there's a difference between the news oriented PR and the product lifestyle kind of PR that's out there today. And do you see that applying to television, radio, print, kind of all segments, or is it really a television phenomenon?
No, the whole landscape really is changing. And there are a lot more what we call in the industry pay to play opportunities. Where you turn on any cable network at 3 a.m. and you see like what you looks like a news show, but it's not exactly like Fox programming or CNN programming. Those are paid opportunities wherein clients can get the chance to do an interview, to be on camera, to have that experience, but it's a little bit different, from being on like the traditional hours within a network. That being said, there are more and more really well-respected media and news outlets that are offering paid media opportunities. And what happens in those situations is you're kind of almost paying for the opportunity to ensure that an editor will review what you're kind of putting in front of them. It doesn't mean that they are automatically going to say, yes, okay, you paid. And now there's an article on this great newspaper, or this great website, news website, but you're kind of paying for the guarantee that an editor is going to review it and probably work with you to massage the piece to make sure that it hits their editorial standards. So it is all changing, and there are some paid options, but primarily still right now, it's mostly traditional unpaid opportunities.
So is it different for new startups or unknown brands than it is for established brands in that model? So if I'm, startup, we've got Dave's Shirts, let's say, got a new shirt thing that I've just developed and it's completely unknown. Is it wiser for me to go out with a paying to pay to play to kind of get my story out? Or should I look for more of the affiliate model where I give them a cut of a sale? Or do I try to create a news oriented story that's more like, Dave's got this new shirt, it's newsworthy, and I try to get news that happening that way. So what's the best, how would you advise a client kind of get when they're a startup, you know, trying to get out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really, it comes down to what are your goals and what is your budget? Mm-hmm. You know, that's really, if you're looking to move product, you know, then you probably want to go the affiliate route, because that's going to give you the opportunity to increase sales. I mean, you have to put money into it, but it does really work quickly. But the best PR strategy is actually implement all of those aspects. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you for Dave Shirts presumably have a really cool backstory, a really cool entrepreneurial journey that brought you to this moment. And that's what we would talk about in terms of thought leadership. And so we could pitch your really cool entrepreneur story to Entrepreneur Magazine or Inc. Magazine or something like that. And those types of opportunities may actually help you reach a different kind of audience. You might be reaching an audience there that's more investor driven. And so maybe you might have a great piece in that outlet and get a call from somebody who wants to invest in your company. So it depends on your goals and it depends on what your total budget is.
Interesting. And so what about the opposite example when you're working with an established brand? The established brands, do they think of it the same way? I mean, the budgets are probably bigger and probably much bigger. Do they kind of think about the same kind of strategies as the startups?
So, but honestly, I've seen it all different ways. And I think for a lot of the bigger companies, they do have agencies of record on retainer that do all of those things. You know, it would be less likely that they would want to hire an agency of my size, because if you're a very well-established brand and really, really well-known, you don't have to work as hard to get the interview. You know, when you have some big news, it's a lot easier to get that press placement. But for them, I think it's more important to have an agency that can also integrate marketing tactics, you know, and different tactics that will drive their overall either sales or brand awareness, or just keep their brand top of mind, you know, and relevant. I think that's probably more of the concern there, is keeping those sales numbers up and keeping sort of, you know, the relevancy.
Yeah, absolutely. So if it's Ford and they're launching a new car model, it's easier to get on Good Morning America, let's say, than Dave's Shirts kind of coming out with the
Well, when it was the Ford, you know, electric truck, yeah, I mean, that was everywhere, you know, yeah. It has to be cool, you know, it can't just be like the latest model of like our run-of-the-mill SUV. There always has to be a good story there, always, 100%. But, you know, for something like that, yeah, they're gonna be able to get the kind of press that they're wanted and they want. And should they want to position the CEO as somebody to talk about the state of the auto industry in the US, you know, or are folks buying more electric than gas cars, they would be able to get an interview like that booked a lot more easily than like, say, like a newer car model line, if there was one.
Yeah. So talk to me about how to create that story with the client, because I imagine that that's a very important piece. So if a client comes to you and wants to sell the product, go the affiliate route, get on television, get that exposure, and they, you know, they're committed to that. How do you work with them to create that story of interest to kind of get that engagement or that excitement that the media probably really needs to make it worthwhile?
Totally. So it requires a lot of time and output in the beginning of working together with a client. And we always work with our clients who we think of as partners in a very collaborative sort of spirit. So it starts off with a long kickoff meeting, which before that, we send them a new client questionnaire that has a lot of questions that just help us to get inside the mind of the decision makers of the company, and also ask them in 10 different ways, how do they describe themselves? What is their unique selling point? What's different about them than every one of their other competitors on the market? Who are their competitors? What have their competitors done well that they wish that they think they could have been involved in some of those opportunities? So we kind of get downloaded on all of that information. And from there, we build out a strategy for how we're going to get them to the place where they want to go. Usually it's by layering in these different angles that we've talked about, you know, product placement through affiliate, thought leadership, newsjacking opportunities, trends, pitches, you know, all of that kind of good stuff. But what it really comes down to is the storytelling aspect. And people now want, or consumers rather, want to feel like the purchases that they're making, that they're aligned with them. You know, for sort of from a sustainability aspect, you know, from just their point of view on, you know, where they fit into the industry. So I think it's actually really important to make sure that the client's story is messaged in the best way possible to reach the audience that you're trying to go after. And it requires a lot of time and effort, you know, and drafting pitches, rewriting them, sharing them with the client, you know, getting together and having a whiteboard up and, you know, and sort of playing around with different language and different terms. So it's a lot of work that comes into it, but it's a process that can be done for sure. But it always comes down to what's different, what's unique, and why should anyone care? Because like we all are so busy. It's like, you know, we have to really make it pack a punch for an editor and then subsequently a reader or a viewer at home to say, okay, I want to look into this product.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So how do you come up with then the media strategy? Let's say you work with the client, you get the story, you've done all that homework, and now you've got to pitch it to the right media. To me, and as a digital marketer, there's a whole different set of channels that we work with. How do you select the right media? Is it, you know, television, radio? Like it seems like a massive set of options you have.
There is, which is good and bad. It's good because there's a lot of opportunities. It's bad because, you know, clients want to be in all of them, you know, or many of them. And it does take time. There's no magic bullet, you know, when it comes to PR and pitching real reporters and real producers. Because you can't pay them off. They have to want to tell your story based on the merits of the story itself. But generally speaking, we would start with trade press, which, you know, is the industry focused outlets that really only speak to those within the industry. So in PR, there's PR News, you know, there's PRSA. Only publicists read those kinds of outlets, right? But they're trade industries for every single industry that you're in. Typically, by hitting up those outlets first, we're able to get a much more flattering piece. It'll be sort of all about the company. It'll be longer. It'll be really a great way to start off the media strategy. By then, it's followed with sort of like maybe some B2B or tier two kind of media that sort of is more consumer facing. It's not quite trade, but it's not quite mainstream yet. We might at that point also start thinking about local press. If there's a local media angle, local TV is a great way for people to start out on TV before we kind of throw them to the wolves on national TV. So local TV kind of comes next, and then we build up to national media. Every media strategy is different for each client. If a client is really well equipped to weigh in on a trending news story that's happening now or that we know is going to be coming up soon, we may not want to delay. We may want to jump on that right away if the client is ready, if they've already been media trained, if they feel comfortable, if we know it'll help with their in line with their goals, et cetera. But typically we would probably before doing national TV, have some like op-eds and some bylines that we would get placed for our clients. That's a, you know, way to control the narrative a bit more and to get our clients comfortable as a starting point with doing these interviews, you know, and the messaging that they want to put forth.
Amazing. So do you ever get clients that you've done all that work for and there's no story there? And then it's hard to kind of pitch. It's like Dave's shirts. I've got a new shirt that is not different than anybody else's shirt, but I still want to get on national television for it. And how do you kind of work with the client through those challenges, you know, when the story is hard to develop?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's gotten harder because the media industry, as I said, has taken a real hit, you know, over the recent years. So there are fewer writers, fewer reporters, fewer media outlets. So there's just not as much real estate anymore out there. So having a good story is more important than ever, but there's always a story. You just have to keep digging and digging and digging. And I think that's where publicists who do well really are think of themselves as the partner with the client. They spend the time to get to know the client, to really be embedded with them, to go through the ups and the downs right alongside of them, and get to know all aspects of themselves. Like maybe the CEO has a crazy workout routine that helps her or him to drive sales every day. Okay, well, that's cool. Let me hear about it. Like, what do? That's really unique and different. So it's thinking outside the box. But yes, it has happened before where, you know, you just, not every time can be 100% and A+. There are times you strike out, but more times than not, you don't strike out, you do well, but there might be periods of a lull. Right. And clients, they may say, okay, I want to pause and revisit in 6 months when we launch a new product, you know, or when we have this other big announcement, or we've just secured our next round of funding. So that kind of stuff is really common in PR.
Yeah. And on the other extreme, like what's a home run to you? Like, what do you just kind of dream about? Like this, you get this client, they've got a great story, CEO or the press people are media trained, they're savvy, they're great. So what do you like to see happen? What, you know, when it really works well?
Yeah, I mean, I think clients are the happiest when they're in super tier one media. So yeah. Wall Street Journal, USA Today, The Today Show, Good Morning America, NPR. Those types of really super highly trafficked, super highly watched outlets move the needle. Mm-hmm. They just do. But what also really helps is when clients come to us and they're really excited is when we help them to ideate and draft and then pitch and place a really smart op-ed where the CEO or the founder is giving a fresh take on the industry or a fresh take on a trend that's happening. That I think can feel very satisfying because typically speaking, then their peers within the industry are starting to then see that CEO in a different light. You know, her or his brand is starting to get elevated, and that helps. It may not help right away, like, you know, oh, I got, you know, now I landed this deal because of this article, or I got this new client because of this article. But it, in elevating the stature of the CEO, it opens doors and it just makes conversations happen that previously weren't.
Yeah, I think that's really, really powerful. I mean, being on the digital media side, you know, websites and SEO and digital advertising, when clients invest in PR and those things happen, in those brand building activities, it makes everything easier, you know? So
we love our clients who invest in digital marketing or paid advertising or SEO. They're begging us. Do you have like high domain authority, like sites you can get our client on, you know, really great articles that we can promote that we can then market out? Because what we do in earned media, it automatically gives you that legitimacy and that credibility with your potential customer or client. You know, anybody can pay for an ad. you know, or write a post on LinkedIn, or, you know, send out an e-newsletter. But if you can include a really great article or TV interview, it automatically gets people to pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, things we look for in digital, like inbound links, suddenly they're not 10, there are thousands, right? We get great content we can put on the website. You can, you know, so it helps with SEO, it helps with website content, it helps with search. People see it in other media and then they search traffic. All those things are great. So PR and the digital side go so well together.
Yeah, we have clients, medical doctors, lawyers, who tell us today videos that they, of interviews they gave from years ago, that their team optimized lead to new clients today. Just pick up the phone and say, oh, I watched an interview of you, you know, when you were on CNN or Fox or whatever. People, it means a lot, you know, it really does.
Yeah. And that's probably one of the things that's changed in our industries in the last 10 years as well, right? So a spot that you might have put on or gotten someone on national television, if it goes then into YouTube and stays there for years and years or something else, those pieces can really last for years. And sometimes I enjoy kind of watching some of the, I was just watching some this morning on Instagram. So there were like these celebrity interviews and stuff, but I imagine, you know, there's a longer shelf life today for the things that you're doing than there was previously. Is that true or is that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the clips, the interviews, they're lasting for a long time online. And I think where the real benefit is just like the digital marketing world has just grown, you know, in terms of different services and different tactics that y'all do. And so having one great clip or interview or article, you can slice and dice that in 100 ways, you know, to create new contact, new specific backlinks, et cetera. So I think that's been a big benefit, but it also helps us because when we get a client who does a great TV interview, well, then we have a fresh clip of them. And so we can send it to other media and say, oh, so-and-so was just on TV yesterday. Check him out. Here's what he said. And it, again, it just helps us because it is showing rather than telling that the clients we're working with have the credibility to get interviewed by these big outlets.
Yeah. And it's very powerful. Well, Annie, this has been an amazing conversation. Congratulations on your book. Tell us, is it out yet? When's it coming out? How do we get it?
It is out today. August 29th is the official release date.
Today? So, congratulations. Yeah. Wow.
Thank you so much. It's called The Guide to Earned Media, and you can find it on Amazon.
Fantastic. I'll order a copy today. That's fantastic. And if someone wants to learn more about your firm or you, or wants to engage you, how would they do that?
I'm on all the social media platforms at Annie Scranton. Just send me a message, and I would absolutely love to connect with your audience.
Great. Well, thank you, Annie, for taking the time, and wish you all the best with your firm and your book and all that you're doing.
Thank you so much.